Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a Thursday evening edition of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. This is the show where you get your daily insight into your favorite basketball team. Today's show, it's an off day for the Rockets, so I'm joined by Craig Ackerman, team's lead radio and TV voice these days. He's their guy on the scene in Atlanta as the Rockets get ready for their next game against the Hawks on Saturday night. Craig, how's it going, man?
Hey, Ben. It's going well. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I assume it was a pretty happy flight over today?
Rockets dominated the Knicks last night. They own Madison Square Garden, apparently, as they won again there. James Harden, it was just brilliant. Once again, it was nice to see contributions from up and down the lineup, and it was good to get a win after what was a really fun game the night before in Cleveland. They fell a bit short there. No shame in losing to the Cavs in the manner that they did, and they bounced back, got the win, and now they'll get ready to take on Dwight Howard and the Hawks on Saturday.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute. Start with something easy. Obviously, this is your first year doing TV play-by-play. I know you got to do the vast majority of the work in the preseason, but this week, the two games in Cleveland and New York, your first time to do regular season games when you know there's actually a big audience for it. Seemed like, so far, so good. Seemed like you and Bullard were really clicking.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm having a blast. I'm having a complete blast. It's so much fun. I'm really enjoying it. As each game goes by, I'm getting more comfortable with my role in terms of my timings and working with our producer and everything like that. But, Matt and I have known, Matt Bullard and I have known each other forever, and we're good friends and have great chemistry, and I really like working with him. So far, so good, and I'm looking forward to many more of these, but I'm having a great time.
Yep. I know you've been doing it at least with radio since 2008, 2009. Obviously, you've been a play-by-play guy for the entire tenure of James Harden. Now, granted, I know it's just five games. It's incredibly early, but have you ever seen him play better than this?
I don't think so. I mean, he's put up huge numbers before. I mean, just look at what he did last year.
Yeah.
In terms of his raw numbers. I mean, that hadn't only been done three other times in NBA history. But what he's doing this year is special, especially when you sort of juxtapose it against where he was at this point a season ago. I mean, he, by his standards, got off to a bad start last year. And it wasn't just his, fault that the Rockets sputtered out of the gates. But he did not have a first solid month plus to start the regular season a year ago. But the way that he has adapted to Mike D'Antoni and this system and a little bit of a new role. I mean, the ball, basically they just give him the ball to start the possession as opposed to having somebody bring it up and then give it to him. But his court vision is incredible. He's always been an unselfish player, and I've never understood the criticism of him mm-hmm. for that. He can score it whenever he wants to, and obviously he's doing that as well. I agree. I think he's playing the best basketball of his career right now, and let's hope that he can sort of maintain this level of play throughout the course of the year.
Yeah. Defensively, I know everyone's caught up in the numbers. First player in Rockets history to have 40-plus points, 15-plus assists in a game, which he did on Tuesday against the Cavs. Defensively, it seems like the lowlights have kind of gone away. Now, he's never going to be a lockdown defender because the burden asked of him on offense is just too much to be dynamic on that side. But just watching the game, it feels like that he's more engaged on that side of the ball than he's been in the past. Is that fair to say?
I think that's what it's all about. I mean, even, look, 2 years ago when he was a runner-up to Curry for MVP, he was engaged. And, look, he's never going to be a lockdown defender. He's never going to be one of the better defenders in the league. I mean, it is what it is. But he has to be engaged. He has to give effort every single night. As your best player, he's got to set some sort of a tone at that end of the court as well. Did not see that enough from him last year, which was disappointing. But we did see it two seasons ago, and I think we're seeing it again. And that's all that's should be expected of him at that end of the floor is to put forth effort, play with passion, and pay attention to some of the details in terms of where he needs to be and how he has to go and what guys' tendencies are. I think he's doing it, and you add that to his just incredible level of offensive talent, then you've got one of the best players in the world.
Yeah. Of course, it all starts with Harden, but I'm curious about, you know, how you see the team as a whole right now. Because one thing that struck me the past couple of days, even though they lost that game in Cleveland, and as you said, no moral victories, they certainly belonged on the court. And on the road against the defending champs, that's an encouraging sign. The Knicks looked like a minor league team compared to the Rockets last night. So, you know, no one's going to get carried away. The Rockets are not going to be the Warriors or Cavaliers this year. But I think what we've seen thus far, you know, you have to toss out that Lakers game, which opener, they kind of ran out of gas in the second half.
Maybe the Lakers aren't as bad as we thought. I mean, well, they came into Atlanta and won, so maybe they're not quite as bad as everybody, including myself, thought they were going to be this year.
That's fair, too. I give them some credit because I thought especially in the first half of that game, the Rockets should have been up 15-20, but the Lakers made some really contested shots, just some tough looks to stay in it, and then ultimately they were able to pull away. But the Rockets as a team, if Harden plays this well, and of course Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson, by and large, are doing what you expect them to do. You'd hope for Ryan Anderson to do a few more things inside the arc. But how good can this team be? I mean, right now it looks like, you know, if they're healthy, there's little doubt that this should be a mid-tier playoff team.
I agree totally. I mean, you're right. They're at least as of right now, I mean, they're not in the class of the Warriors,
right,
nor the Spurs. I mean, and you can even go so far as saying even in the class of the Clippers in terms of their raw talent that's all on the floor. I don't think that's really debatable. Then there's a group of everybody else who's fighting for those final five seeds in the West, and depending upon luck and continued improvement and health, any number of those teams could be slotted anywhere through, you know, 3 through 10, honestly, in the West, depending upon how each of those things go. Eric Gordon, I think, has been really good, even when some of his inconsistencies in some of those games against Dallas on offense, from one half to the next, weren't probably where you wanted it to be. I thought he was one of the best defenders on the team. I'm encouraged with that. Ryan Anderson, I agree, does need to get a little more consistent, but yes, as you said, by and large, he's doing what you're asking him to do. The irony with all this is that the Rockets aren't playing at the pace that Mike D'Antoni wants them to play. I mean, they played at a breakneck, you know, pace in the preseason. Now, I think three games against teams in Dallas and Cleveland, even though the Rockets scored 120 points, they really want to slow the game down. Mm-hmm. They're not amongst the faster playing teams in the league, so I think that might have something to do with the Rockets' mid-tier pace of play so far. But they still want to pick it up. They want to play faster. But look, this is going to be a really fun season. They're going to score a ton of points, and the name of the game is, can this group continue to learn and grow and get better, and will they ultimately be an average defensive team? And I think if they're an average defensive team, then they have a real good shot at winning 50 games.
Yeah, I would agree. If you want to nitpick on their problems, one thing, and we've seen it this year, we saw it last year, are those 12 minutes a game, usually early in the second and fourth quarters, that James Harden is on the bench. And one way that problem got mitigated against the Knicks, now granted, the Knicks are not a good defensive basketball team right now, but Montrezl Harrell had a heck of a night. 17 points, 10 rebounds in his 27 minutes. And I know he just got time, you know, in that game because Nene was resting, second night of a back-to-back. He's 34 years old, yada, yada. But there's a lot of people on Twitter who are wondering, you know, can Montrezl Harrell earn a rotation spot? And I don't know if it's the five, I don't know if it's at the four, but I guess I'll ask you, A, is there a path for him to get minutes? And B, what are the things that he needs to get better at to earn minutes?
Well, I certainly hope there's a path. I mean, this staff season as a five, I think the ship in terms of playing Montrez as a four with this particular coaching staff, I don't want to say it's completely failed, but they view him as a five, purely as a five. And with Capella and Nene sort of ahead of him in the pecking order, it might become a little bit of a numbers crunch for him. But I thought he deserved minutes coming out of preseason. He was terrific last night against the Knicks. The issue is that he's just not tall enough. Now, he's got great length. But when you see perhaps maybe in a game like the Lakers when they were playing Randall at the five, and you see some teams downsize a little bit and have some smaller fives that run around the floor that maybe aren't necessarily suited for a guy like Nene to defend, then maybe Montrezl Harrell in those situations is your guy. The one thing about having Nene on the floor, going back to your original point about the time when, you know, the Rockets are still searching for a facilitator when James Harden is resting, is that he is a guy who can't facilitate the offense somewhat from the high post when he's on the floor. So that's something to consider. And look, the whole Pat Beverly injury really threw a lot of their preseason plans right out the door, right off the bat, because Pat was going to start, Eric Gordon was going to come off the bench, and so you were able to stagger a little bit of that playmaking creativity a little bit. And I think when Pat does come back, my hope is that some of those concerns that we have when Harden is resting in the second and fourth quarters, that slack in terms of playmaking ability and creativity can be picked up by Eric Gordon moving forward.
Yeah. One other guy on the bench I wanted to kind of give due. A lot of folks have talked about KJ McDaniels and Sam Decker because they've been somewhat surprises. Certainly they're playing well. But I think a lot of people are kind of overlooking just how steady Corey Brewer has been. And I think we all acknowledge that last year was a bad year for Corey. I liked how you in the preseason attributed it to the death of his pet goat. But,
I wish it had anything to do with it. But, yes, he had a bad year last year.
Yeah, but it feels like he's been a lot steadier through five games. And he had a pretty good preseason as well. Is that what you're seeing?
You know, he's got to stay within himself. He can't try to be something he's not. I mean, he's always going to go 0 to 100. Every time he's out there on the floor. Needless to say, he's just not a good 3-point shooter. Now, he was terrific when he first came over from Minnesota, and he's got to create havoc on the floor. That's what his role is. He's got to create havoc out there. He's got to fly around. He's got to get in the passing lane. He's got to force turnovers. And then he's got to be able to finish. The 3-point shooting is probably something that's never going to be reliable. But if he is able to consistently finish around the rim, which is, you know, flip a coin on a nightly basis, then he's going to be a valuable contributor to this team as he was when he first came over in that trade from Minnesota. But he's got to go out there and wreak havoc and fly around and flail and make guys uncomfortable on the other side of the ball. And if he can continue to do that and, you know, finish more consistently at the rim when he gets his opportunities, then, like I said, he'll continue to have a significant spot in this rotation.
Yep. Wrapping up here with Craig Ackerman, voice of the Rockets these days, both on radio and TV. Spinning it forward to this weekend's game against Atlanta, we both know there's going to be a lot of silly narratives in the national press about, you know, the potential for bad blood between the Rockets and Dwight, their first matchup since him leaving. And obviously that's overdone. People within the Rockets organization, I know you included, love Dwight. He's a great guy.
And so I guess
what I wanted to talk about to you about was, I'm assuming the mood from people on the Rockets, I'm guessing people look forward to seeing him because he was a big part of this franchise, big part of the team. Nobody has any ill will towards him. So I'm guessing that when the Rockets get to see him Saturday, it's going to be a pretty positive meeting for you guys.
Yeah, I would agree, and I would probably say the same for Dwight. I mean, I think he would probably feel the same way. Now, look, when the ball gets thrown in the air to start the game,
right,
my guess is that he's going to want to, you know, kick the Rockets' tail, as are the Rockets are going to. They should throw all that aside and want to embarrass him as he wants to embarrass them, because that's what competitors do. I mean, he's moved on. He decided to come home and sign with the Hawks. Look, during his brief tenure with the Rockets, for, what, two of those 3 years there in the playoffs, he was their best playoff player, and it wasn't close. And, you know, he had some injury issues, and last year was just a just a mess. It was a mess for him. It was a mess for everybody. It was just, you know, sort of the perfect storm of everything going wrong for this franchise last year. But I don't have anything negative to say about Dwight Howard. He's a great guy. He works tremendously hard. He wants to win. Did his game necessarily mesh with the Rockets' philosophy? Especially, you know, as the whole league is moving towards this whole pace and space thing? You know, maybe not. But look, again, he's moved on, and I would agree with that sentiment that it's, you know, I think most people are going to be happy to see Dwight. I'm certainly looking forward to seeing him, but I guess, and I know when both teams lace up those sneakers, you know, they got to throw those pleasantries aside and try to go pick up another W.
Yep. And when they do that, do you think Capella, Nene, I know we're just reaching, but, you know, out of the Rockets centers, who do you think matches up best with him?
Well, I mean, Dwight's gotten off to a pretty good start. He had a monster game last night in a loss to the Lakers, rebounding the ball really, really well. He's still a force in the paint. He's still physically imposing. You know, I'm not sure if Clint has the sand in the shorts, if you will, to match up physically with Dwight. Maybe that had also something to do with the rationale of giving Nene the night off in New York on the second night of a back-to-back to make sure that he was totally well-rested to physically match up with Dwight Howard on Saturday night. But I don't think anything's going to, at least at this particular point, without a team practice before the game, I don't foresee anything changing in terms of the Rockets' rotation. I'm assuming it'll be Clint as the starting center. They're going to see how it goes. And then, look, Dwight also has to be willing to come out and defend Clint on those high pick and rolls. And Capella's been terrific in terms of his chemistry with Harden on those. And Dwight, at times, has been hesitant to come out and defend his man high on those pick and rolls, which could leave room for James Harden to come off the screen and get open looks, as opposed to Clint rolling to the rim with Dwight, you know, sagging off of him. So he's going to have to make some decisions too at that end of the floor. But I do like having Nene off the bench as sort of your physical bruiser to match up with Dwight in the event that physically Clint Capella is overmatched.
Yep. I agree with you largely that they're definitely not going to change the rotation, the lineup. I was just asking the question based on, you know, who's going to play the crunch time minutes if this is a game in the fourth quarter. And I tend to think
we're seeing Nene.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Nene's been the guy.
Yeah, he's been the guy late.
You know,
yep.
So far.
Yep. And,
but I think, you know, ultimately depends. Can Clint stay out of foul trouble? I mean, that's a big issue. I mean, they're going to still split the minutes, but my guess is that in a tight game late, as we've seen, it probably still ultimately be today.
Yep. Craig, thanks so much for the time. Why don't, before you sign off, toss out your Twitter handle where people can find you. Hell, even tell them where they can tweet y'all during the games on Root Sports Southwest.
Oh, well, yeah, you can start with the at Root Sports FW thing, and, you know, we like throwing those things up on the air, and then personally it's CA_Rockets, and I really do appreciate you having me on again, and all the support I've gotten so far in my new adventure. It's been fun, and you know, I look forward to getting better at it, you know, each and every game. So thanks again. I do appreciate it.
Sure thing. Have fun in Atlanta, buddy.
I will. Thank you.
Sure thing. That's Craig Ackerman, voice of the Houston Rockets. He's with the team in Atlanta this afternoon. Rockets have a couple of days off before returning to action Saturday night in Atlanta. And really, I thought he hit the nail on the head on just about everything. First off, as he said, it's the best ball that I've ever seen James Harden play. Now, granted, it's early. It's five games. But it's combined with a summer of great headlines. We've heard for months of just how committed he is, how much he's rededicated himself to this team, to rebuilding his reputation around the league, and so far he's doing it. If there's an MVP of the league through five games, I don't know who else it could be. And really, as far as the rest of it, especially how the Rockets match up with the Atlanta Hawks on Saturday night, I would agree with them. You know, you hope for the best with Capella, but you worry if Capella has enough sand in the shorts, as he said, to hang with Dwight. I would suspect that Nene gets the crunch time minutes, as he's largely been doing. And Craig actually made a point that I hadn't even thought of yet, which was maybe giving Nene a night off. It was the second night of a back-to-back, but maybe it's to get ready for potentially playing him even a little bit more on Saturday. Because I would agree, I've been saying for a few games now that games in half-court settings are where Nene really shines. And so going up against Dwight Howard, a big physical center, and a team in Atlanta that has Spurs-like execution in the half court. To me, this is a game that screams for Nene over Clint Capela, and maybe getting him some rest ahead of it was a good strategy by Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets. Anyway, on that note, I'm going to wrap up. Again, this is Locked on Rockets. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked on Rockets. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. And you can always email the show at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com if you've got questions for me or if you would like to inquire about becoming a sponsor of this great daily podcast for Houston Rockets coverage. Thanks to everyone for listening, and we'll be back with you again this weekend as the Rockets get ready for their reunion with Dwight Howard this Saturday night.